Welcome to the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Becker's Healthcare in conjunction with Intuitive. Intuitive is a global technology leader in minimally invasive care and a pioneer of robotic-assisted surgery. This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by the Chief Operating Officer of Carroll County Memorial Hospital, smaller community in Missouri. Tim Braun is with us. Tim, you'll talk to us about coronavirus, what's going on, what this looks like in a smaller town perspective, a critical access perspective. Take a moment and introduce yourself, please.
Sure. I'm the COO of Carroll County Memorial Hospital. We're a critical access hospital in north central Missouri. I've been in healthcare for about 30 years, and I've worked in multiple roles in healthcare, both clinically as a surgical technologist and a registered nurse, and then as well as administration and supply chain and in hospital operations now.
Thank you. And 30 years of healthcare, have you ever seen anything like this?
No, absolutely not. We're really in unprecedented times, and the level of anxiety and fear that our staff and our patients have, concerned about their safety, concerned about their livelihood, their families and friends, and we're seeing unprecedented times where the economic impact on our little communities is huge, and we're trying to figure out how we're going to come out of this, and not to mention clinically we're doing things that I never thought I would see, things like reusing personal protective equipment, making it last pretty much all day or more, and now we're talking about reprocessing personal protective equipment as well.
Let me ask you a question. You're in a small community. What have you seen so far, and what preparations are you taking in your community for COVID-19?
Sure. We're doing a lot of the standard things, limiting access to the facility. We are unfortunately having to shut down some services. We've built a pretty successful model with our outpatient specialty clinics over the last few years. And right now we've shut down some of those services that are essential to our revenue stream, but need to be shut down to limit the spread of the virus, things like our outpatient specialty clinics. And we've got specialists that come from larger metropolitan areas like Kansas City that just aren't able to travel. And quite frankly, those things can be pushed off in order to limit the spread.
How does this play out in all critical access hospital? Do you have ventilators if you start to have patients that need the ICU, need ventilators? What does that look like? How challenging are those numbers? How does that look in a smaller community?
Sure. We have one ventilator for the entire building. For our acute unit, we have one ventilator. We have a couple of ventilators in our surgical operations in two of our ORs. We have a couple more that we can get from our local EMS for our use, but the fact remains that one ventilator that we have in-house, I don't remember the last time it might have been used. We or had a patient on a ventilator unless it was in the emergency room and they were transferred out. As far as experience in the facility with using the ventilator and making sure we have all of the equipment and supplies that are needed, and now pharmaceuticals are going to be in short supply for putting a patient to be able to intubate a patient. We'll see some pretty rough times. If we had to use those ventilators, it would be a pretty rough day for us.
Right. And so there's plans both. If you had to use them, you use them. You try and staff right, try and make sure the pharmaceuticals are right, everything else is right. And then you try and also get patients to bigger hospitals or related health systems if you have to. Is that part of the thinking if there are spots available?
That would be. We're managed by HCA. So we get a lot of support from HCA in a lot of different areas, particularly now with COVID-19. So really our plan would be potentially a patient exchange we would hope to transfer some of the patients out of the metro area to our facility that are maybe a little bit lower acuity or don't need a ventilator at this time, and we could care for them just as well, and then send our acute patients, our critical patients, to some of the Kansas City hospitals.
Thank you. And any sense of like morale of staff? How does the team take this? How do they look at this? What's the community feeling around this? Is there a lot of anxiety in the community? What's the sense of staff? How's their morale?
Well, there's a ton of anxiety that surrounds this for people, and safety is first and foremost for all of them, and how they protect themselves in the facility and keep themselves from contracting the virus and potentially taking the virus back to their friends and families and in the public. We've already looked at ways to minimize initially the use of PPE, but we have to abandon those plans at some point and start using PPE to protect our staff. Like many other facilities, and we've seen all over the news, we've had several people contact us asking to make cloth masks. And as of yet, we've declined those cloth masks because the statistics we see, they're about 3% effective in protecting people. And that's a real false sense of security. So one of our physicians and I, we were talking in a meeting last week about ways we could, how we could be creative about extending the life of PPE. And one of those things we talked about was, what's available in our surgical services department that we could use. And so I went down, and that's my background initially was surgery. So what I finally settled on was the sterilization wrappers that we use for wrapping instrument trays and putting them in the autoclave. So what we've decided to do is our CEO's wife made our first prototype, but we sent her home some of the material, the surgical sterilization wrappers, and she played around with a couple of prototypes, and she sewed us a couple of masks with that material, and brought them back to the hospital, and we tried them out and settled on one, and it really worked out well, and we feel it gives a much, much better, there's a much higher efficacy with these than there would be with just cloth. So they're designed to filter out bacteria, and I think we feel pretty good about them. And so now we've asked for some community members' help, and they're actually going to sew us some more of these masks made with that material. And the real beauty of them is when we're done, we'll collect them at the end of the day, and we can reprocess them in the autoclave that we have in surgery. So, we're trying to find ways to be creative and still be safe.
No, that's extremely smart and extremely interesting, and that's exactly it. How do you be creative, innovative, and safe? There's no good if you're not safe, no good if you're giving a false sense of security and so forth. So just a brilliant, brilliant thought. Any thoughts of how this plays out? When does it start to get better? When does it peak? How does it move to the next side? Any thoughts of how it plays out, both clinically, obviously, most importantly, and economically as well? What's your sense of where this goes from here?
I wish I were smart enough to have an idea of how long the virus itself plays out. I'm hoping that before too long, we're going to see a light at the end of the tunnel. But there's no promises there. And the real consideration we've discussed here internally is that economic impact and what happens even at the point of when the pandemic stops, when the spread of the virus stops. Our prevailing thought is we've got some time before spending patterns return to normal. And our CEO believes we're probably looking at least a few months after the end of the spread of the virus where spending patterns start to return to normal. And until they do, unfortunately, a lot of people will put healthcare at the bottom of their list for things they need to spend money on. So we're not only are we going to have to work our way through this pandemic, but we're going to see the after effects for months after as people start to return to their own jobs and start to feel a little safer spending money.
You know, 100%. People are going to be very careful on money for a while until they see their jobs come back to life, see their savings come back a little bit, and everything else as well, for sure, which is going to make the recovery somewhat muted. It's going to take a while for the economy to ramp up and everything to ramp up. But, Tim, one more question. Any words of encouragement for healthcare workers and for your team and everything else?
You know, I wish I had something really profound to give you here. A great, brilliant answer. And unfortunately, I don't know what it is. And, you know, right now it's the best I've got is stay the course. You know, we've all been in healthcare for a while. We've trained for this, whether we're clinicians or we're administrators. You know, we've trained for this. And while the situation doesn't, while our training doesn't quite prepare us for this situation, you know, I think that we'll prevail, and it's just gonna, I really hope that we're gonna see a light at the end of the tunnel soon. But I know all of our coworkers, all my coworkers, they're in it for the long haul, and that's what's comforting.
Isn't that great? What a magnificent team of healthcare workers, both you have and in this country. Just fantastic. Tim, we appreciate you joining us so much. Thank you, sir.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you very much for listening today. This podcast was brought to you by Becker's Healthcare in conjunction with Intuitive. Intuitive is the global technology leader in minimally invasive care and a pioneer of robotic-assisted surgery.